Let's clap our hands. Come on, lift up some high praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory to God. Praise God. What an awesome day to be alive in the kingdom of God and to know Him in spirit and in truth. It's so good to know Him by the Word of God. It's so good that we don't have to check our brains at the door, but that we can come and walk in an intelligent faith that God has shown Himself to us by many infallible proofs. And what a glorious way to start a brand new year. We're going to launch here, and we don't wax nostalgic. We pack it up. We put it on a shelf. There'll be time for talking about it all on the other side. If it was great and you were successful, there'll be time to talk about that. If it was an abysmal year for you, pack it up. Put it on a shelf. We'll talk about it later. Right now, let's get everything under the blood of Jesus. Let's get everything in the anointing of God. And let's see, because vision doesn't stop. And the plan of God is inexorable. And there is no end to the increase of His government and His peace. This thing was meant to move and grow and travel. And it is doing that. And if you sit down by the wayside, it'll leave you behind. And so let's press in unto John were Moses and the prophets, but now the gospel is preached and every man presses into it, and it's proactive and it's energetic. And if you want God, you can have Him today, but you've got to press into it. And if you need God to move in your life regarding something today, don't wait, press into it. And so we're just thrilled and excited to be a part of what God is doing. So very blessed to have Brother Prado back in the house with us this morning. And we appreciate his ministry in this recent conference in Sebastopol, Mississippi, where there is a giant edifice to the kingdom of God in the middle of cow fields and pine trees. And it's an amazing thing and a wonder to behold. And this morning, Brother Prado was able to be with us again, and we're looking forward to the Word of God. I feel the presence of God, the anointing of God. The portal is wide open today. There are angels ascending and descending in this house, and the plan of God, the provision of God, anything you need is in this house today. Somebody say amen. Let's once more, let's love Him and praise Him and magnify Him. Brother Prado, I want you to come and just whatever you hear in the Holy Ghost, you tell us.
God bless you. Thank you. Let's give the Lord Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. And so good to be here again this morning, and was not planned, but I feel very good about it. And I can't say how much I love and appreciate Pastor Sutton, and he's been a good friend to me and a valuable resource in my life, and I look up to him very much. And often as I'm trying to structure the culture of our church back home, I often thinking to myself, what would Barry Sutton do? Amen. And so I very much look up to him. Amen. And love and appreciate this church. Amen. And how many of you love the Word of God? Hallelujah. All right. I shot out of bed this morning extremely early, and I prayed, and I said, God, what is the Word of the Lord? And He spoke to me the title of this message. I've not really ever preached this, and so but I feel like it's the Word of the Lord to you this morning, so let's get right into it. Amen. Book of John, chapter 15, verse number 5. Many of us can probably quote this. Jesus speaking says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I just want to preach to you for a few moments on this subject. I'm not doing it without God. I'm not doing it without God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is powerful and it is anointed. Jesus, I'm asking you to speak through me now in Jesus' name. And everyone shout a great, big, healthy amen. 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 You may be seated. Gina was 15 years old and a sophomore in high school. She was healthy and heavily involved in sports. One day, Gina woke up feeling rather sick and with a strange tingling in her arm. Initially, Gina and her parents thought it might be a combination of a pinched nerve and a flu bug, but nothing very serious. Gina continued going to school, playing sports, and going about her daily routine, but all the while she was getting worse and worse every day. Finally, her condition progressed to where she could no longer attend school, let alone get out of bed. Gina's parents rushed her to the hospital, but the doctors found no traces of the flu or of a pinched nerve. Nevertheless, Gina's condition was accelerating and worsening literally by the hour. Her arms started to involuntarily jerk, her speech became slurred, and her body began to stiffen. The doctors called in the neurologist, thinking that perhaps there was some kind of issue with Gina's brain, but all the tests returned negative. Gina's doctors were utterly frazzled. And that's when Gina's mother remembered a rather peculiar incident that had taken place a month earlier. Gina and her family were on vacation. During this trip, they had decided to visit an old church. While inside this old church, a bat flew in from the outside, scaring several people, and then landing against one of the stained glass windows. The bat was obviously not there to hurt anyone, and was desperately trying to find its way out. Gina, who happened to be very fond of animals, decided to help the bat. By this time, the bat was just as afraid of people as the people were of it. Gina managed to get close enough to the bat to where she could grab it by the wings. And when Gina grabbed the bat turned around and bit her on the index finger. When Gina's mother, Anne, told the doctors this story, their faces turned stark white. They ran out of the room and ordered for Gina to be rushed to Milwaukee Children's Hospital. It was there that Gina came under the care of an infectious disease doctor by the name of Rodney Willoughby. By the time Gina arrived at Children's Hospital, she could no longer walk or talk. 3 hours later, Gina was on breathing machines and was fighting for her life. The doctors took one last battery of tests, and it revealed exactly what they had feared. Gina had become infected with rabies. Rabies plays by two very simple rules. Either get treated immediately or die. That's it. It is an extremely deadly disease. The survival rate for people who develop symptoms after being infected is zero. In this regard, World Health Organizations consider it the deadliest disease in the world. Dr. Rodney Willoughby took Gina's parents into a room and told them that he was sorry. Gina was in the final stages of rabies, and it was too late to administer treatment. As you can imagine, Gina's parents cried bitterly and begged the doctors to do something. Dr. Willoughby looked at Gina's parents, and he said these words, "I have an idea. There might be something we can do." He told them that while they were waiting on Gina's lab results, he had been reading through medical journals and stumbled across a particular treatment that might possibly save Gina's life. However, it meant that they would have to induce a coma. Dr. Willoughby believed that given enough time, the human immune system could develop antibodies. He had theorized, as they did in this report, that the reason people die of rabies was because the virus moved faster than the immune system. However, if this theory was correct, there was still a very high probability that the induced coma would leave Gina severely impaired. Gina's parents were willing to take that risk. The doctors induced the coma and figured they'd give her a week, then check to see if she had an immune response. From the very beginning, Gina's mother, a Christian, began to pray. And in particular, she grabbed hold of one verse in the Bible. It was Psalms 91:3. And it says, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." She refused to leave Gina's bedside. Day and night she wept, she prayed, and she quoted, "He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence." After several days, the doctors came back to see whether Gina had an immune response. Sure enough, she did. It was a medical miracle. Gina's body was actually producing rabies antibodies. The doctors decided to start waking Gina up, but immediately her body broke out into a horrible fever, and they could not figure out why. So they decided to put Gina back into a coma. After several more days, they gradually woke Gina up again, but there was a serious problem. Gina was awake, but physically she could not move a muscle. Furthermore, she was not talking. They pinched her, they poked her, still no movement, except in her eyes, indicating that she was in fact awake, but otherwise non-responsive, what many doctors refer to today as a lock-in, which means that there is no voluntary muscle use. The patient only has the ability to move their eyes. Otherwise, they are totally paralyzed. It was the thing that Dr. Willoughby feared the most, that an attempt to save this young girl's life would only result in her being a vegetable the rest of her life. Dr. Willoughby, who I don't suspect was the most religious person, said that for 2 days, he drove back and forth between the hospital and his home checking on Gina. And he said, "I don't know why, but something kept coming out of my mouth every time I drove to the hospital from my house. And it was this: Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner." That was all he could say. And then the impossible happened. He came in one morning, headed straight for Gina's room, where he was greeted by another doctor who said, "Did you hear that Gina had reflexes this morning?" He shouted, "No, I had no idea." Dr. Willoughby grabbed his reflex hammer, went into Gina's room, hit her on the knee, and she responded. He was shocked. The next day, her eyes began to flutter. And then within a week, she was completely awake, alert, and physically responsive. Gina Kesey is the first American in modern history to have ever survived the effects of fully developed rabies. Gina's parents, alongside the doctors, did the right thing by trying to save Gina's life. Not only did they do the right thing, they did the best they could with what they had. But when it was all said and done, the doctors and Gina's parents had to depend on God. I came with a very simple message for everyone here under the sound of my voice. We must depend on God. When we wake up and when we go to bed, we must depend on God. In 2018, we must depend on God. On Monday morning, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, when you're young, when you're old, when you're rich, when you're poor, we must depend on God. When we're doing good, when we're doing bad, when we're healthy, when we're sick, when we're married, when we're single, when we're young, when we're old, we must depend on God. Oh, come on, somebody give Jesus a hand praise right now. Oh, come on, somebody show God that you're depending on him right now. Somebody show God, "I need you, Jesus." This ain't just a hand clap. This is a declaration on my behalf of just how much I need you, of just how much I'm depending on. Oh, come on, I feel a wonderful presence. Can I preach to you this morning that everything in life worth doing should be done with total dependence on God? No matter how many resources we have, we've got to depend on God. And no matter how many resources we lack, we have to depend on God. Amen. I've come to find out that in church there are two kinds of people. There are people with resources and people who lack resources. Very often the people who have resources feel tempted and they struggle and they wrestle with dependence on God. But then there's the other side of the coin. There are those people who do not have resources, and their struggle is to not become resentful of how much they have to depend on God. I'm telling you right now, no matter where you're at in life, you've got to depend on God. Don't just depend. Let me just preach to some folks for a few minutes. If you're living right now, paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, meal by meal, day by day, don't resent that. It's a good thing in your life to learn how to trust in the Lord. I know it's not easy, and I know it's hard, and I know you cry a lot. Amen. But there's going to be a day when things turn around. Hallelujah. There will be a day when things aren't this way, but between now and then, you got to learn to trust in God, and you got to do it with joy, and you got to do it with peace. Hey, I feel the Holy Ghost right now talking. Come on, come on. You are free to go to bed at night. You are free to stop worrying. I release you to stop biting your nails. Amen. God is going to take care of you. Here you are. I know it's been a long trial, but has he failed you yet? I know you've been through some things, but he hasn't failed you yet. You might be living day by day, but God's been good. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the Holy Ghost talking to somebody. You know, let me say this. I do not believe that God is against his people being blessed. I do not believe that God has a problem or an issue with filling up our barns with resources. In fact, the Bible says it is more blessed to give. And you can't give if you don't have. And so God wants somebody to have something. And not just have, but have enough to give. It's okay to have. God wants to bless. It is the nature of God to bless his people. It is the nature of God. You know, we give, but let me tell you something. God is magnanimous. He is generous. And generosity isn't a number. It is an attitude. And God is a generous God. He's not. He will give. He will have your cup overflowing. God. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm telling you, God's a good God. And God has been good to some of you. God has been very good to some of you. And I do not believe that we have to choose between being blessed and being dependent on God. I believe that God can fill up your barn and you can still trust in him. I don't believe we have to choose between having a lot and having a little prayer life. I don't believe it has to be that way. I believe that that is up to us. I believe it is the will of God that we pray just as much when we get a house as we did when we didn't have a house. I believe it's the will of God that we pray just as much after we hang the diploma on the wall as we did when we were a broke, starving student. I believe it's the will of God that we pray just as much as when we owned the business as we did before when we were just an employee of the business. I believe it's the will of God that we follow the leading of the Holy Ghost just as much when we got a degree as when we didn't even know how to put our shoes on right. I'm telling you right now, you don't need to be afraid of being blessed. You need to be afraid of being independent of God. And you don't, you can be blessed and have a prayer life. You can be blessed and fast. You can be blessed and be faithful. You can be blessed and worship. You can be blessed and be generous. You can be, oh come on somebody, praise him. This is not part of my message. But let me say this. Only because I see it here, everywhere, anywhere. There comes a point when God begins to establish a church. And some of it is just a natural development. You have the youth group starts getting a little bit older. They start getting married. And God wants to bless those young couples. God wants to raise those young couples up. God wants those young couples, amen, to become pillars in the church. You don't have to be old to be a pillar in the church. You could be 5 years old and be a pillar in the church. And if you've ever taught a Sunday school class and had a little kid in there that loves God, you know they're a pillar in that class. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But you young couples, listen to me good. No matter how much God blesses you to be a blessing, don't you ever stop praying. Don't you ever stop being faithful. Don't ever let the job replace your church attendance. Don't ever let the car keep you from driving it here and parking it 3 times a week. Don't ever let God's establishing of you pull you out of the church. Don't ever. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to help somebody out. I'm telling you right now, you're very capable of having both things in your life. You're very capable of realizing where it all came from and praising God that you got it. You're very capable of being faithful and being blessed. Somebody shout, we can do it. Give God a hand praise right now. Hallelujah. You know what? Something is happening right here, right now. God is really speaking to somebody's heart right now. We're going to take a few minutes out and just worship the Lord. Because there's something that is beginning to metabolize into somebody's thinking right now. Come on, I'm going to finish preaching. I got some things to say, but right now something is settling in on some of our minds. This is a powerful moment right here. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 woo! I'm going to move forward here in just a few seconds. This is not part of my sermon. This is not part of my sermon, but I want you to listen to me good. Amen. Joseph had been in prison most of his young life, and one day he gets called out of the prison. He gets put into the palace of the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. And they tell Joseph, the king's had a dream, and none of his soothsayers and none of his magicians and none of his wise men could figure out what the dream meant. Amen. And he tells the dream to Pharaoh, to Joseph. Pharaoh tells the dream to Joseph, and Joseph turns around and he looks at Pharaoh and he says something astounding. He says, the dreams that Pharaoh has had, the two, they are one. Let me tell you something about Joseph. You know, dream is a generic term because there's not just one kind of dream. There's nightmares. There's daydreams. There's good dreams. But Joseph didn't just interpret dreams. He can interpret nightmares too. And Pharaoh had this dream that seemed out of balance and out of whack. There was this dream where there was good and then there was bad. And you know, life and the way it happens and the way we interpret it, we like to break everything up. And we say, well, that's bad, that's good. And Joseph looks at Pharaoh, he says, it's all part of one big plan. I'm still preaching good right now.
He says it's part of one big plan and it's part of one big purpose. And so you could praise God in abundance and you could praise God when you lack, because it's all part of the same plan. You could praise God right now if you're a crackhead, if you're hooked on dope, if you're smoking dope. Amen. You could praise God right now and get to the other side of the dream where you're a new man and a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you right now, I've lived for God long enough that I can look back over my life and say the dream was won. This was all part of God's big plan in my life. This was all part of God's purpose in my life. God let that happen. God allowed that to take place. God moved those pieces like that so that I could be here. I'm preaching to somebody right now. The dream is won. Don't despise where you're at. Don't hate what you're going through. Praise God. You'll understand it better and better and better as time goes by. You'll find out he's not just the God. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on, let's magnify Jesus. Oh, come on. Every hand lifted up here, just a few seconds. I promise you. I promise you, God is talking to us. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, Jesus. Somebody who don't even know much about God needs to lift their hands right now. Hallelujah. Your life is coming together right now. God's about to show you. I've had my hands on you since you were a child. I have brought you right here to this moment, to this point. God is talking to some young couples right now who are saying, Lord, I don't get it. We got the job, we got the income, and we broke. What is going on? Why is it like this? I'm telling you, the dream is won. God is moving you down a line. Amen. And you're going to look back one day and realize that was all Jesus right there. That was all the Lord right there. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, for about 5 seconds, give God. Give God a hand praise. Do I got anybody who's been able to look back over it all and say, I never did fall out of his hands. I was always in his plan. This was... Oh, Jesus. Whether we have or we have not, we must depend on God. Jeremiah 17 and 5, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart departs from the Lord. Depending on God is fundamental. It's central to Christian living. It is not optional. I'd have a hard time telling you you're a Christian if you don't depend on God. God is a jealous God. Do you know that there was a law in the Old Testament? There was a law, just to give you an idea of just how jealous God is, of just how significant he thinks he is in your life. There was a law in the Old Testament that if a woman committed adultery, they were to gather ashes and put it in water and make her drink it. Seems odd. And that practice that we know of in Scripture, though it might have been practiced, we only have one other time when it was practiced. And that was when Moses came down Sinai and the children of Israel started dancing around a golden cow. And Moses took that golden cow. He had it melted back down. He threw the ashes in the water, and he made all those people drink it. And God is saying, this is exactly how I feel when my people trust in stuff besides me. I feel like I'm being cheated on. What have I ever done to you to make you, oh my God, help me preach right now. What have I ever done to you to make you question? I know I've been quiet. I know I haven't been saying a lot. I know you don't feel me every morning. I know you don't wake up speaking in tongues. But do you have breath in your body? Are your children sleeping at peace? Is that roof over your head not the one that I provided? What have I ever done to you that you start trusting in your bank account more than you trust in me? What have I ever done to you that you would start asking for loans from people who don't even know? What have I ever done to you that you would think that you're better off missing 2 weeks of church than you? Ah, oh, Jesus. Come on. I'm preaching to somebody. Yeah, Brother Prado, you don't understand. I need a job. I'll tell you where you find a job, right under that pew praying. I'll tell you where you could find a raise. Right. Oh, Jesus. Oh, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. The Holy Ghost is talking. It's talking to me. Hey, come on. Oh, Jesus. Woo! We depend on God for our salvation. Psalms 85 and 7 says, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. We depend on God for wisdom and direction. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth it not, and it shall be given him. We depend on God for everything and in everything. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. God is saying, you got one job. Don't act like a sinner every time I don't answer your prayer right away. Fear me. Trust me. Love me. I've never let you down. Don't go back to the club. Don't go back to your ex-boyfriend. Don't go back to cussing. Don't go... Come on. Fear the Lord. And David in Psalms 80, 18 and 2 describes to us a threefold dependence on God, which he lived by. He says, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. God is who I stand on. God is who surrounds me. And God is who saves me. I'm standing on Jesus. I'm protected by Jesus. I will be saved by Jesus. I may have to go to the doctors, but I'm depending on God. I may have to go down to the bank, but I'm depending on God. I didn't think it would get to this, but whatever I got to do, I'm depending on God through it all. I might have to go to court next week, but I'm depending on God. I'm telling you right now, I didn't want to have to... Oh, somebody magnify the Lord right now. We're almost done. Here's what I want you to do. Trust God, but don't test God. And don't confuse trusting with testing. They're not the same thing. And the devil wants us to think they are the same thing. You know, Jesus was in the wilderness fasting 40 days. You know, God said something very interesting through the mouth of Moses to Pharaoh. He said, let my son, Israel, go. God considered Israel his son. And God's son, Israel, failed in the wilderness. And so God had another son who had to pass the test that the first son failed in the wilderness. And the Bible says that Jesus was pushed, literally pushed in the Greek, by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus said, this has been done wrong. I got to get it done right. Because trials must be passed. We have to have victory. Well, I'm preaching good right now. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I don't want to go through 2017 and 2018. I don't want to go through that. I'm going to pass this test. I'm going to ace it. I'm going to faith it. I'm going to trust in him. I'm preaching to somebody that every time you come to this point, you fall apart, you unravel. It's time for you to keep yourself together. I'm telling you, the center will hold if Jesus is at the center. If you'll just trust God, you'll never have this trial again. If you'll just trust God, this will be the last time. If you just... I know that's making some people feel uneasy because they want to blame somebody. They're looking around... In fact, every hand lifted up. Hallelujah. He ta da 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 bosa. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you. want everybody to sit down for 1 second. Give the Lord a hand praise right now. Oh, come on, magnify Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to finish here in just a few seconds. You know, the devil told Jesus, he said, command that these stones be made bread. He did not say, speak to these stones that they might be made bread. He said, command it. And Jesus said, Satan, you don't understand that the commandments of God don't change. And the commandment is not that God answers all of our prayers. The commandment is that man shall not live by bread alone. The rules don't change. We are trusting, not testing God. Just a few weeks ago, we had a service, and I'm coming to a close. Just a few weeks ago, we had a service in the church where I pastor. There's a very large sector of that church, of our congregants, that I personally won to the Lord down through the years, people I taught Bible studies to. They know me. They trust me. They understand how I operate. I do have a few people in our church that came from other churches. Nothing wrong with that. They transferred. It was lovely. Everything was okay. But we had a particular service where just the service was just in a lull. We had just hit a wall. And literally the night before the church, I'm speaking a new life right now. The church had come under attack. I mean, it was severe. Several of the saints in the church, unbeknownst to each other, called me, and each one of them had had the same trial the night before. We're going through the same thing, and they didn't even know it. And by the time we got into church on Sunday morning, that spirit was still fighting them and fighting them. I walked into church, and those people that just know how I am, I just picked up on it really quick. And so I got to praying, and I got to jumping, and I got to praising God. And the people that have known me the longest, they knew what was going on. They said, oh, we're going in right now. And they got on board because they knew. And let me tell you, Brother Jermaine's been to our church. We got a little church, but we got some good musicians. We got good music. Amen. We got generous people. We got people who give. We got a nice little building. We're moving up, but it's nice. Amen. But the nice little building and the generous offerings and the good music, that's not enough to push the service through. We're not depending on bread. We're depending on the Word, on the Spirit of God. Hold on. And I feel like God has sent me here today to speak to the members of New Life. Amen. God has brought us this far. Amen. As proof and evidence of our administrative competence. Amen. And our good stewardship. But that does not alleviate us from having to come into every service in this new building with a total dependence on God. And for our visitors, we've got to push. It is up to you, seasoned saints, whether you're 15 and you've been here since you were little, or you're now in your late 60s, 70s. Us seasoned saints of New Life have to come to church with just as much hunger, with just as much bite, with just as much fervor as we've ever had. Because we still got visitors coming. We still got kids to raise. We still got revival to have. We still have healings that need to take place. And I'm not... Come on, this is my church, this is our service, this is my Bible, this is my pastor, this is our time, this is our place. We're going to push it through. Come on, somebody. I'm coming early for prayer. I'm coming early for prayer. I'm praising God every service. I'm leaving my luggage at the door, and we're going to have revival, Jesus. Somebody magnify Jesus. Oh, come on. Somebody help me. Woo. New house and I'm still praising God. New suit and I'm still praising God. New car and I'm still praising God. New job and I'm still praising God. Diabetes, wish I didn't have it, but I'm still praising God. Diagnosis, I wish I never got, but I'm still praising God. Oh, come on. Woo! Come on. Give God a great big dependent hand praise. Woo! Come on. Jesus. Jesus. Woo! I know this sounds strange. There's a spirit of healing that's moving through the pews right now. There is a spirit of healing that's moving through the pews right now. God is going to show you his posterity right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I know what it is to be a seasoned saint of God. I know what it is to be the pastor and come in sick and think to myself, God, you got to heal me. And he heals me. I'm telling you right now, God wants his saints strong. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, sickness leave. In the name of Jesus, pain leave. In the name of Jesus, disease leave. In the name of Jesus, depression leave. In the name of Jesus. Quickly, if it's appropriate, lay your hands on the person next to you. God heal marriages. God heal marriages. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said you'd bind up the brokenhearted. God, I pray that you heal broken hearts. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch wounded minds. I pray that the distraught would be lifted up. I pray that your faithful saints, hallelujah, that have helped be the foundation of this church, would feel the strengthening hand of God like they've never felt it before. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that today your posterity would manifest itself. I pray in the name of Jesus for divine healing. I pray that God heal you of every dependence on any kind of illicit substance. I pray that God deliver you from painkillers and opiates in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, cancer leave. In the name of Jesus, oh, Señor. Oh, hallelujah. I need the musicians to come. I feel like God is telling me to tell somebody, lift your head. I'm not talking to everybody, but there's somebody that no matter how much God moves, you keep your head down. Put your head up. Put your head up. Put your head up. No matter how much the devil slaps you behind the head, no matter how much life knocks you upside the head, keep your head up. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. In all your adversity, keep your head up. Keep your chin up. Square your shoulders. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I want the ministers, the music ministry, just sing as long as you have to or as short as it has to be. I'm not really going for any kind of measured thing here. But I think everybody should give God a little praise before they walk out. I think everybody ought to come before they leave. And just touch the altar and thank God for your church and thank God that you're here and thank God that he's allowed you to be part of such a dynamic spiritual body and thank God for your children that'll get the Holy Ghost right up here and thank God for your marriage that was repaired up here and thank God. Thank God for the time he healed your shoulder, your back. Thank God. For the time you thought the funeral was going to be your funeral.